on the record, Ms. Zippel, does the county have a position on this?
Just to clarify, so this would be, I just want to make sure I understand. So this would be your written statement, and then were you thinking of doing additional direct questioning and to this, or just rely on this written statement?
The questioning would follow it. I think the what we discussed was the first 9 pages would be read into the record, which
If it's here, I'm not going to have it read into the record. I've got it. So there's no need to do that. If it's admitted, and I haven't ruled on it yet, but there's no need to read it again into the record if I have it in written form. It's in the record if it's admitted. And again, there's no ruling on that at this point.
yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine with that. The direct reading was going to be through page, through item D on page 9.
No.
So
I don't, I
so if that comes in written form, that's fine with us.
But yeah, so I don't want to read. You generally, once in a while, you read a sentence or two from a document, and that makes sense, and I think that's happened in this proceeding. But yeah,
Yeah.
I'm not going to have him read 9 pages of. Or,
I mean, I think each of the witnesses that appeared already
there were
read
some with written
directly
statements.
from a written
There were
from a
some from
written,
that had
yeah.
read prepared their statements in advance. But if a document is admitted, then there's no need for it to be also read.
And then the thought from that point forward.
I mean, this is essentially pre-filed testimony, except it was just submitted this morning. So, I'm sorry, did I interrupt you?
No. The question that counsel had asked was, were there going to be questions in addition to this? And the answer would be yes, and starting at page 9, I thought the more efficient way would be to go through each of these points with questions and answers.
So is this testimony not complete then, or I'm just trying to, for efficiency purposes.
I was trying to come up with something that would be the most efficient way to do it. And rather than read the entire document in, as we've done with the other witnesses, would be just to read a portion of it in and then try to take each of the points that are in the remainder of it and address them in a question and answer, because I thought that would be a more efficient and quicker way to
I guess that I'm a little confused, because if the document, if all of this is, if it were admitted, then I have the evidence and I've already, I have reviewed it. I mean, I've read it in its entirety. If there were points of clarification or something additional, in addition, then that's fine, but I don't want to repeat evidence that's already admitted. So is your intent to essentially repeat what's in this document, or did you need to clarify or add to what's in this essentially pre-filed testimony from Mr. Fry?
There could be clarifications that go with it. I mean, from what you're saying, I'm kind of thinking.
I mean, because this is a pretty complete document, seems to address the.
We would go either way. We would either put it all in and no testimony, or we would, if it wasn't admitted in totality, we would present the testimony live.
Okay, that clarifies that point, Ms. Zippel.
Yeah, so I guess I don't have objection. This isn't about the exhibits, to clarify. There's just a written.
Right,
written
right, right now we're just dealing with the written portion. So pages 1 through.
No, the whole. I was.
17.
I was proposing
18.
The whole thing, either all in or not in.
And let's deal with the exhibits separately, unless the county position on that is the same. But otherwise, we'll deal with it first, the written piece, and then the attachments.
Yeah. So. For, I don't have an objection to the written statement. I just think so that's fine.
Okay, so no objection to the county to admission of this written statement. And Mr. Fry, I think I will have you sign this so that way it's, you know, we follow the formalities on that. Because actually, interveners, you all have a position on this as well.
Thank you. From our position, I'm inclined to agree to the admission of the written statement just simply to expedite
right.
the matter. But I'm going to say this. I did not bring my reading glasses. got through the entire document. I think I got through the first 8 pages because I'm having a hard time seeing it. So it raises questions as to whether or not an effective cross-examination can occur based I would need additional time. And Mr. Bolger, who's sitting at the prosecutor's table, indicated to me that he may have an extra pair of reading glasses in his office downstairs.
So cross-examination, of course, would be allowed on all of this if it's admitted. And so if additional – and this – yeah. And I read it – I did read it quickly, and luckily it was large enough but for me. But we will take a recess, I think, to allow the opposing counsel to review it. And because this – again, I would have much preferred to have had this in advance so we don't have to take up the time to deal with it. But that said
– believe it or not, the point was to try to make it simpler.
Yeah, I appreciate.
We could have just shown up and sat here, and as much as I like Mr. Fry, we would enjoy his testimony for 2 or 3 hours.
So
it was an attempt to try to make things better, not worse.
I don't know how this kind of veered off. The attempt on that. So we'll go ahead and admit the testimony, and Mr. Carmody, if you could, might as well take care of this now, so it's you've. The declaration is signed, and we'll go ahead and admit that, but we'll take a recess to allow for cross-examination and additional review on that. So let's move to the attachments.
So the county has no objection to what's already in the record or the RCWs. That's fine.
Okay, so the RCW, that's attachment C, and
The statement of work is attachment B is already in the
that. Yeah, I did check. I saw that.
So my only concern is the attachments, once again, that aren't in the record. The first one, it doesn't have where it's from, but I am assuming that it's created by Mr. Fry. I don't know. Who it was created by or what it is, or like who put this together, where the information comes from, that kind of thing. The attachment D, again, it would have been nice to have this when the record was submitted originally. It seems like it's offered beyond just background information, it is actually direct evidence from West Sound, and so it seems a little bit late on that.
That's attachment D.
Can I respond to that?
D. Yeah. Why don't we, Ms. Zippel, do you want to run through all of them, and then we'll turn it to Mr. Carmody?
Sure. And then the supported living, again, that seems more background, and if it's just offered for general background, that seems fine. But I'm not sure it's actually that relevant. For the comparative chart, it seems like something I'm guessing, or again, it would have been nice to be in the actual record submitted, but if it's sort of part of what would be the oral testimony, it is what it is.
Mr. Belton?
I guess for the record, so it's clear, WSPS would agree with the objections that Ms. Zippel has made. We don't have any objection to the admission of exhibits or attachments which are already in the record.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the RCW is concerned, no objection. But things which are being offered, in essence, as new substantive evidence, which should have been identified according to the order which was issued as part of the pre-hearing conference, we would object to them on a timeliness basis. I don't think that they should be admitted.
Okay. So, Mr. Carmody, it sounds like BNC, though there's no objections to that, but A, D, E, and F are new exhibits, so there are objections to those.
Okay. I don't have any, I don't care about attachment A.
Okay. So that has been withdrawn.
Attachment D is specific factual information that's provided to you in response to the testimony that was provided both by the county and others. Their testimony was that there had been no trip analysis, no information generated on traffic, yet that was a basis of their decision, was that there was increased traffic. We have a right to rebut that, and we have a right to supplement the earlier exhibit list with that information, and that's all this is a compilation of daily trips from January through the remainder. It'd been nice also if we'd been provided with copies of all the documents that WSPS people read from in their written statements. We were provided with none of those supportive documents. Very few were a part of this record, but that was not a part of it. We would also have been nice and pleased if we'd been provided with the sheriff reports that form the basis of the 6 or 7 call testimony. We weren't provided with that. We're doing something better than been provided to us so far, in that we're giving specific document that everyone can look at as well as you, rather than just general testimony about it. So I think in fairness, we're entitled to provide this trip count and provide this information. It's integral to our comment on the decision and your decision, particularly in light of the testimony that the county had absolutely no information to support any adverse trip impacts on traffic, but yet came to a gross conclusion that there was an intensification over normal usage.
And what with respect, what are your response with E and F?
F is a compilation that Mr. Fry prepared that compared adult family homes and supportive living homes based in part on the information and the statements that were made in the direct testimony provided by the county and WSPS, assertions that were made in their briefing that were prepared subsequent to the submission of the exhibit lists, and simply run a comparison side by side of the two uses that are the basis for the similar use analysis.
And then E is the, this is from a flyer from DSHS?
I don't care about that.
Okay, so that's...
I thought information would be helpful since we've been using terms that have significance in the industry, but very little significance to lay people like myself and others. But if it's not there, that doesn't bother me,
okay,
because the testimony's in.
Okay, just to simplify, we will treat that then as withdrawn. So it looks like the only two remaining in contention are attachment D and then attachment F. I think what I'll do is reserve ruling on that. Mr. Fry, presumably this is information you can testify. If so, you certainly can testify to traffic trips and that sort of data and compliance with the various statutes. So,
would you like those authenticated for purposes of this at least, and then you reserve? Or do you want? Are you saying that there should be testimony?
I think you should. If these are facts you want to put before me, he should address in his testimony. I guess we'll supplement a bit to address those. I guess the alternative is to simply admit it. But if he can address, it was a little confusing to me what the traffic data was and. Technically, they are new exhibits, and we did have a deadline. So, but I will allow Mr. Fry to testify to that information, and I'll reserve a ruling on the attachment. So. Is there any other questions from counsel on that?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
So we'll do a short testimony on this.
So I think what we're looking at, and maybe your strategy in terms of efficiency works somewhat if the testimony is just to address kind of the remaining information that looks like it's addressed, I guess, in the proposed attachments D and F. And we may take, we will take a recess to allow opposing counsel to further review the declaration in terms of addressing cross-examination. So. Okay, so would you like to call Mr. Fry as your first witness, or your last witness?
My first and last.
Mr. Fry, if you could state your name for the record.
Excuse me, Alan Fry.
And you swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you.
First of all, I want to tell you I've got a bit of a cold, so I'm sorry about my voice.
That's
doing my best here, so I might clear my throat once in a while.
Okay, that's fine.
Mr. Fry, just a couple short background questions for you. What is your current employment?
I am the administrator of West Sound Support Services.
Do you have other responsibilities in addition to administrator for West Sound Support Services?
Yeah, we have a family of companies. It's Kitsap Tenant Support Services, Olympic Peninsula Support of Living, and Kitsap Home Care and Training Center, all of which I run.
We've provided and the court has admitted your written testimony, and that was, for the record, testimony that you prepared and you've signed under penalty of perjury.
That is correct, yes.
And it accurately reflects your testimony as if you would have put forth verbal testimony today.
Yes.
With the written statement, there was an attachment D, which is... or maybe you can just identify attachment D. What is that document?
That shows the trip counts per day for our four residents at the Viking Way House.
Was this document prepared under your direction?
It was, yes.
And what does the document reflect?
Well, it goes each by the day. It shows from left to right each of the clients, Daly, DeVille, Loyal, and Gillis, and their trips that they would do during the day, when they leave, when they return. Over on the right-hand corner is the number of shifts to give an example of how many people might be coming and going as far as employees in the house.
And the summary goes through the end of April?
That is correct, yes.
And the trips that are reflected would be off-site trips, so trips from the residence to some determined location.
Correct, predetermined.
With a leave time?
Yes.
And a time of return.
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Are there any trips for the residents over weekend days?
Yep. At this time, we do not do trips on weekends.
So the only days that there were trips would be during weekdays?
That is correct, yes.
And the summary also reflects the scheduled time of leaving and return?
That is correct, yes.
Is there a logic to scheduling times for the trips?
As far as when we would do them?
Yes.
Yeah, we technically do them Monday through Friday when school's in session, so that the likelihood of one of our folks seeing a kid out in public or coming up with a kid like at a grocery store would be limited. So most of that is done during school hours.
And each of the trips that an individual takes include an individual accompanying them as an escort or chaperone?
100% of the time, yes.
Is the level of trips or the level of trips reflected on this typical of what you would see in an adult family home?
Yeah, same type of things. Excuse me, going shopping, going to a doctor's appointment, going to therapy, going to some sort of physical activity, going to work.
Is it common in an adult family home that off-site trips include an escort or a chaperone?
Yes, in most cases.
Is that also true with the supportive living residences that you manage?
That is correct, yes.
So there's nothing unusual in this trip number or the staffing levels with respect to this home as compared to an adult family home?
No, it would be the norm.
No further questions on that. Want to stop with that one, or do you want me to do the next one?
Let's go Go ahead and complete to the next one, yeah.
Okay. Next, I'd like you to take a look at attachment F to your written statement. Do you recognize that document?
Yes, that's a comparison chart between an adult family home and our, West Sound Supportive Living Home.
Okay. Was this document prepared under your direction?
It was, yes.
Was the purpose of the document to provide examiner with a comparison of various aspects of an adult family home as compared to a supportive living arrangement at West Sound?
Yes, that's correct.
The first line entry is residential structure. Is there a difference between an adult family home and the Viking Way residence in terms of the residential structure?
No, they're identical.
What type of house are they in a general vernacular?
No, they're all sorts of houses, duplexes, apartments. They can be many different things. Depending on the amount of residents, there are mobility issues. Some want to be closer to work. Some want to be closer to activities, but they're all what would look like a normal family residence. Our goal is to try to not stand out in the community.
Is the Viking Way residence typical of a normal adult family home in terms of the physical structure?
The physical structure is the same. We don't have a lot of houses on 15 acres, so that's a plus there.
Did you make any internal modifications to the residence?
We put up a couple of things in the bathroom, a couple of grab rails for one of the residents in particular.
Were the modifications to this, the Viking Way residence, typical of an adult family home?
Yes.
Modification?
Yes, it's pretty much the same.
Were any external modifications similar to what you would have done in an adult family home or supportive living?
No, they're pretty similar. Sometimes we'll put up some sort of visual barrier on the outside. Sometimes we'll put up some sort of fencing, depending on the client need.
How many individuals or unrelated adults reside in adult family homes?
Adult family homes go between 1 and 6.
How many unrelated adults do you have in this residence?
4.
So the residence number is consistent with adult family home?
Correct, yes.
Are level 3 sex offenders allowed to be placed in adult family homes?
They are sometimes, yes.
Do you accept level 3 adult or sex offenders in the Viking Way residence?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Are sexually violent predators allowed in an adult family home?
They are, yes.
And this home is designed specifically for care for sexually violent predators as part of the placement?
Yes, correct.
Do you provide habilitative care services to the residents of the Viking Way home?
Yes, and in all of our other programs.
Okay. And habilitative care is provided as well in adult family homes?
Correct, yes.
In the statement of work that we have referenced in your written contract, there's a list of services. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Is that statement of work comparable to what you would expect to see in an adult family home or a supportive living situation?
Very much so, yes.
Are the staffing levels at the Viking Way resident consistent with staffing levels for adult family homes and supportive living residences?
Yes.
Is it typical in a supportive living or adult family home to provide transportation to residents to off-site locations?
Yes.
Are the transportation and escort services provided at Viking Way residence any different in terms of functions than you would expect to see at an adult family home or a supportive living?
No, they're comparable.
in the listing, there's a reference to various WACs that apply to adult family homes, and a comparison on your chart to your Viking Way residence. In the interest of timeliness, each of the references to the WAC, when applied to the Viking Way residence, indicate that Viking Way residence meets or exceeds the WAC standards for adult family homes.
That's correct, yes.
The Viking Way home placements have been limited to individuals with developmental disabilities and special needs. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Is it common or authorized that an adult family home would also provide care and services for developmentally disabled and special needs individuals?
Yes.
Is then the care that you're specifically providing to these individuals different in any way to what the care would be that you would provide these individuals had they been placed in an adult family home or a supported living situation?
No, it's comparable, and it's always based on need.
So it's individually driven in each instance, whether it be this residence, adult family home, or supported living?
That's correct, yes.
No further questions.
I had a quick question on back on the transportation. A number of shifts. So that's like that's employee shifts. So like say January 1, six shifts. Is that six employee shifts? Is that
that's
what
that? Correct. Yeah. That's to show come and go. You know, so six people would have come and gone that day.
On that day. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Understood. All right. I think at this point, shall we recess for cross examination, and then cross examination can address. We can address these two attachments as well as the declaration.
That's what I would request, and I will read as quickly as I can. I just
borrow a
set of reading glasses, it would help a lot.
that's fine. How long would counsel like to review everything and then reconvene?
I would propose 20 to 30 minutes.
Is that time?
That's
okay.
Fine.
So it is right now 10:01. Why don't we reconvene at 10:30, and we will conclude this. So.
Thank you.
Yep.